So, welcome to In the Spotlight podcast. My name's Bill Cummings, and I am joined today by Mr. Captain Barrett.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. That's about the most professional part of the whole podcast.
all downhill from here, then. My kind of podcast.
Yeah. So, I kind of asked you on to talk about your new project. Well, the project you're involved in.
Yeah.
With the museum. Mm-hmm. I believe it's launching on the 19th of July.
It's called Hip Hop, A Welsh Story.
Okay.
Because I think there's a common misconception that what I'm doing is doing the history of hip hop in Wales, which I would love to do, but that's a very big project. It's a different project.
Yeah, it is. So it's more of...
So it's a story.
A story.
Essentially. Well, it's many stories.
Yeah.
In one exhibition, which has a narrative that goes through it.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's an exhibition, you know? And an exhibition has to be... Like, if I tried to tell the whole story of hip-hop in Wales, A, if I said that, I'd leave a lot of people out.
Yeah, because
you can't.
Can't fit everybody in.
No, and if you did, people would switch off.
Yeah.
You know?
Got to make it engaging.
It has to be accessible for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want people to come and feel inspired to want to learn more.
Excellent. So when did you get involved in that and how did it happen?
So my good friend Dregs messaged me one day and said that there's this job in the museum putting on an exhibition for the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. I was like, oh, okay, that's super interesting. At the time, I was head of music at Boomtown, so I wasn't really looking for another job. But then I was like, who's going to do that? So I was interested. I was like, let me know when that comes up. So we did. And it was just at a point where I was looking to leave. I think I'd actually just taken a sabbatical from Boomtown.
Yeah.
After COVID and everything, I was in a funny place with events, and it was, you know, it's a lot of work. I was pretty burnt out, so needed a break. But then this job came up, and I was in Portugal at the time.
Nice.
And I had to do an interview over Zoom, and got the job. I remember I phoned up Jaffa when it came out, and I was like, are you going for this? Because I was like, if Jaffa's going for it, I'm going to step aside. I'm going to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
But he said, no, but I'm on the team. Cool. So it was great. I got on board.
Did you have to pitch for it, or did they give you an outline? How did it work?
So the idea was there already.
Mm-hmm.
So my job was as a coordinator at first, which was just to bring everything together, help to bring in artists, members of the hip-hop community within Wales. But kind of long story short, that exhibition never happened.
Mm-hmm.
The exhibition that I was brought on board to do didn't happen. For reasons that I'm not going to go into here.
Fair enough.
But, you know, the museum were good. They said, look, we're really sorry that this isn't going to happen. We'll honour your contract. Sorry, it didn't work out. But I was like, no. Like, I made promises. One of the things that was really important to me was if we start this, we see it through to the end.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're in hip-hop in Wales, if you're in Wales generally, but if you're in hip-hop in Wales, you're used to being let down by these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a healthy distrust that these things are going to work out.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm going to see this one through.
People relying on you and stuff.
Well, not even that they're relying on me necessarily, that they're, you know...
Invested.
I've built people's hopes up.
Yeah.
I've told them this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't want them like, if it doesn't happen, they'll be like, oh, it's just another thing that didn't happen. But I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point of this exhibition for me, is to make people feel proud of where we've come from, what we've done, where we are, and feel inspired about where we're going. And so I was like, no, we have, I'm sorry, but we have to do this.
Yeah.
So I wrote another pitch, which they accepted. They were like, oh, okay, this is good. And set about doing the exhibition that we're doing now.
So how many years have you been working on this?
I think it's 3 in total.
Okay.
Like on and off, but mostly on. And like there's a lot that's happened within that time. I would say more than the exhibition in many ways, the bulk of my work has been oral history.
Yeah.
So I went all around Wales, north, south, east, west, mid, interviewing people for the museum's oral history archives. So there's about 70 interviews, which for any project is a big bulk.
It's a lot.
And I still don't think we scratched the surface in that. Right. I think there's so many more people that I would have loved to have interviewed for it, that I still might interview. I've still got the recorder there. I might just head out in my spare time and get some more, because I think it's good to tell the whole story. And it's a big story. I don't think people realise how deeply ingrained hip-hop is in Wales. And so hopefully the exhibition then will give people a little taster.
Yeah. Because often it's an untold story, and it sounds like it's going to be in the words of people involved and artists. And
100%, yeah. That was really important.
Really, you know, that's going to be really powerful, I think, to hear the words of the artists involved and their history and everything.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Sounds like a unique way of, like a... You know, an oral history is like more like a people's history, isn't it, than the usual museum idea you have, where you look at a placard and you read.
I really
history,
didn't,
which
I
is
really
important
did,
as well.
I really didn't want that. I mean, my idea at first was to not have the museum voice at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't work out quite how I wanted. That I think it's good that we had some context in there as well.
And what's physically in the museum or the story that you're telling?
So there's, like, it starts in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Because that's really when hip-hop landed in here, as a cultural force, you know. Before that, you had a window into some of the rap and some of the graffiti and some of the breaking, even, to a degree.
Yeah.
But the end of 82, 83... is when hip-hop really kind of lands in Wales.
Yeah.
So it starts there, and it mostly starts with breaking and graffiti, then goes into DJing and rapping in the latter half of the 80s. But I didn't... At first, I wanted to go through the decades, and that would have been good.
Yeah.
But then you are trying to do the history.
Yeah.
And there's no way we could have done that.
It's exhaustive then.
And to be honest, it was really hard to find a lot of things from the 90s, because there was a whole period there where a lot of people left hip hop to go into the rave scene.
Yeah.
And it was still there. It was still running into it, but you don't really have many releases. You don't really have much representation physically or digitally. Until you get into the end of the 90s, when groups like Headcase Lads and Johnny B start releasing records, and then you've got a revival in breaking that happens in the late 90s, and turntablism as well. You've pretty much got a whole kind of revival of hip-hop culture that happens in the late 90s, and then spills into the 2000s, which is when I moved back to Cardiff and set up Higher Learning with Dregs and Rough Styles. That was, to me, that's the golden era of Welsh hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the golden era of Welsh rap music is now. But the golden era of Welsh hip hop was like 99 to 2005, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the labels that?
Associated Mind, Rounder, SFDB. Then you've got all the Welsh language labels as well, which tended to be more of a mixture of stuff, but are just as important. There's a lot of good music. And there's a section in the exhibition which is dedicated to the record shop and to records.
Yeah.
So that's quite an interesting one. We originally wanted to have a lot of quotes and notes on the back of the records, and I kind of feel a bit of anxiety that we don't have context anymore with the records, because there's stuff in there like Until the Ribbon Breaks, which isn't a hip-hop album per se, but if there was more context it would say that Pete, that is really Until the Ribbon Breaks, used to be DJ Itchy Fingers and released an amazing mixtape as that back in the 2000s. Right. He also had a live hip-hop band with Elliot, who was also Until the Ribbon Breaks, called Fat Sandwich. And on the Until the Ribbon Breaks album, he's got Run the Jewels. Now, a lot of people, and I think Homeboy Sandman is on there as well. So he's got these big new, like big rappers from America on a Welsh artist album. Yeah. There's also a Scritti Pilliti album in there as well for the same reason. And a lot of people don't know about these crossovers, you know? And a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people don't know Until the Ribbon Breaks is Welsh. Because they were also on Run the Jewels' first album as well. So there's been that collaboration between them a couple of times. But of course, Pete's first release was all Welsh rappers.
Yeah.
So I wish I had a chance to make that connection within.
Right, okay.
I might do that on the blog. I'm writing some blogs to give more context.
Give more depth to the context around some of the stories. And I noticed DJ Jaffa and Mr. Formula involved in this.
They've been integral to the whole thing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just noticed them mentioning it, so I just wondered what their role was.
Yeah, I mean they've been integral from the start, really, and they've been super helpful at bringing it together.
And did you uncover anything in your journey?
Oh man, so much. I thought I knew about Welsh hip hop before I started, but I didn't know anything compared to what I know now. And I'm sure there's so much more still to uncover. I didn't know about Hugh Wackman. Before, I mean, he wasn't called Hugh Wackman when I started. He was Bad Meaning Good, who I actually did know. And I did know his previous name, DJ XL, but I never knew he was Welsh.
No, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Sometimes you don't realise that they are Welsh.
And it's like some of the I'm glad we didn't get a chance to include. But yeah, so much. I mean, there's so much history here within Wales, and a lot of the time, like, people down the road from each other don't know what each other's doing.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. Smellington Piff, I didn't know he was Welsh. Like a big rapper with high focus and, kind of big on that scene. Yeah, but he's...
And so did you, like, you were talking about giving some contacts and stuff. Did you try and piece it together, you know, this person? Because often there's a lot of collaboration, isn't there, in hip-hop? And like you mentioned, even here, sometimes an artist could change their name, they could become a different, you know, MC or something like that. Did you try and make those connections through the story?
No. No, I'll be honest. Wondered. Like,
so you're just telling a story from the perspective you found?
Well, if you look closely, you can see some of those connections.
Yeah.
They are there. And it's interesting to me to see those. And it's interesting to see if people pick up on that. Like, some people's threads run all the way through the exhibition, if you look closely.
Sure.
But what I tried to do is, because there was so much information and so much that we got from the interviews, was I tried to pull out narratives. And, like, okay. So after... after we touched down in the 80s, we focus on competition,
yeah,
battling within hip hop, because that's I wouldn't say that it's central to everybody's experience of hip hop, but it's a big part of the overall narrative, and it's been a big part here. It's something that ties the different elements together still. You know, you've still got rap battles, you've got breaking battles, you've got hip-hop dance battles, you've got beatbox battles, you've got DJ battles still.
Yeah.
So, like, all of these things, battling ties it together. So we focused on that for a little bit.
Where a lot of people cut their teeth.
Yeah, definitely. Well. Yeah, and I think even outside of the battling, like, that competitive edge, that wish to kind of be the best or just do better, is there. And most of the time it's healthy competition. A lot of people see battling as aggressive and bad, but I think we dress it in a different light.
Nice.
Based on what people said to me in the interview. That's not just my take on it. Yeah. Based on what people have said.
Yeah.
I think it really kind of like puts it into the light.
Yeah, and also it's another thing that maybe not everybody knows about within Wales, you know,
that happened. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I didn't know some of the battles that were happening. Yeah. And there's a bit of a revival that seems to be happening in the rap battles. So Don't Flop got in touch with me today because they want to do another battle in Cardiff.
Nice.
There's a battle in the Valleys that happened last week, Battleground 2.0. There's a grime battle kind of like scene happening. It's a good thing
because it's like people are participating in live music, you know, not just watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
active participation. And you had the beatbox battles recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
DMC is obviously back. And, you know, Welsh, I mean, with Hugh Whackman kind of winning the UK title a couple of years ago, I've noticed a couple more Welsh DJs that have been entering that. It's good. It's really good to see things still thriving and evolving.
Is there a musical element to it as well? Obviously, like literally music. Is there a mix?
You will hear music in there, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Just wondered.
Yeah, and actually on that there is, if you go to the Museum Wales or Gwyneth Cymru website, there is a playlist that I put together.
Cool. I'll include that in this. People who might listen to this, they might not know the depth of Welsh hip-hop generally either. So.
Obviously, there's not. It's on Spotify, the playlist, so there's not everything on there.
No, no. It's the thing about streaming, isn't it? Not everything went on streaming.
I've kept it clean as well, which is really hard.
I bet.
But it's definitely, I would say it's definitely an interesting listen.
Mm-hmm.
And a good listen. Like, you know, there's some great tracks on there.
And with the launch, is it just like literally you're opening the doors, or is there going to be any like events as part of it?
There's going to be events within the exhibition throughout the summer holidays.
Cool.
The actual opening is just going to be the opening.
Cool. Yeah.
There is a launch, which will be for, you know, the people that are involved in the exhibition, because that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we want to try and bring them all together. So there will be a launch for them. Happening before the 19th, but the 19th is when it kind of opens its doors. But it will.
So, where can people find out more information if they want to attend the exhibition?
So, on the Museum Wales website, if they just put in "Hip Hop: A Welsh Story," that should that should come up. Or follow the museum socials, or follow me on the socials as well. Substack's usually the best place to find me, which is captin.substack.com, or Land of Rap is our Welsh rap. Me and Dave Acton from Larynx. That's landofrap.substack.com.
Excellent. Yeah, I subscribe to that. Definitely recommend it if you want to know about hip hop and what Captain's up to. It's definitely interesting. So what else have you got going on at the moment? You got any shows coming up, or you involved in anything? You're always involved in something, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a few things happening. I mean, Big Love obviously is a pretty major one, which is the same weekend as the opening of the exhibition, which is great timing on my part.
Yeah.
But that's coming together really, really well. It's good to see artists like Joshua Adeyan getting lots of coverage at the moment. I think that's going to be a really, really good show when he plays. But yeah, that's come together really, really well. I think it's going to be a good year for Big Love. Stu is in hospital. Well, no, he's just come out of hospital, but he's in recovery at the moment.
Okay.
So it's all a little bit hectic trying to do it without him, which I don't think we'll ever manage to do. He's always got an eye on his computer there somewhere, but we're trying to keep it fairly chilled for him. But it's cool, like, you know, we're a good team. It's all coming together. And then I've got two nights on the go. One of them is, it's a disco thing, me and Paul Lyons. That's at Paradise Garden. And we've got a lot of kind of residents that come through week by week. Luna Romani, Sister Sesh, Tribe of Vibe, Ben Banjo, like, yeah, we had Jean-Jacques Smoothie there the other week.
Okay.
It's a lush night. It's just, it's kind of disco house, nice. New funk, new disco, a lot of dancing, a lot of good vibes.
Sounds cool.
And then me and Paul also do Bump and Hustle at the Corp, which is your more old school funk, soul and disco, you know, more 70s, a little bit of early 80s, but mostly 70s stuff. And that's me and Paul, Dave Grueslave, Gareth Potter, Chrissy Jenkins. And so the next one of those is going to be Kelly RB from Radio Cardiff. And We Funk as well.
I mean, involved in this Diff Radio project as well.
And I've got a show on Diff Radio.
I did read that.
Yeah, me and Dregs. Nice. I mean, we've done a lot of radio over the years. We started on Express Radio, the student radio.
Nice.
And then we did various, various lives of Radio Cardiff, Beats FM. We had the Drive Time show for a while on Radio Cardiff.
Nice.
And then, of course, Jason Dregs had a show on BBC Radio Wales, which used to get me in for a fair bit to do interviews and roving reporter stuff. It's good to be back on the radio together. We just had the first one. It was a lot of fun. It's a monthly. It's not every week. And then me and Dregs are doing a few shows together as well. Playing the Isle of Wight Festival.
Cool.
And we're doing Mucky Weekend as well, and then I'm doing a bunch of other festivals, Boomtown, and
just a DJ set.
Yeah, just a DJ. Cool. The me and Dregs, he's going to be hosting, but the other ones are just me. Yeah.
And is there anyone? Well, I know there's a lot, but is there anyone really exciting you at the moment, locally? You know.
Oh man, so many people.
Check your blog.
I just saw the Glastonbury lineup for the BBC Introducing Stage, actually. And it's nice to see a few people on there. Lem Freck's on there, nice. Mally Haff is on there. So I think that's going to be strong. Both of those artists are fantastic.
Yeah.
There's more. Apologies to whoever else is playing on there. I can't remember top of the head.
I'm sure there's loads.
Adjo is playing there, and she's playing Big Love as well.
Lovely voice.
Beautiful. Like her show at Focus Wales was incredible in the church.
So yeah, Captain, you've been in the involved in hip hop for like, what would you say, a couple of decades, two or three decades? What would you say?
I would say involved in hip hop as more than just a spectator. About 25 years. We started Higher Learning in 2000.
Nice.
But even before that, actually, so I started a website called welshhiphop.com. It was called Enter the Dragon, but the two URLs were enterthedragon.com and welshhiphop.com.
Nice.
And I started putting that together in 99, although it was first launched in 2000. So yeah, that's kind of when I became an active participant, I would say. Before that though, like, you know, I've been into hip hop since the early 80s. Even before I moved back to Wales, I was living in London in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And I've aged myself now, haven't I? when hip hop hit, it was just kind of everywhere. I was living in Hackney and it was just everywhere.
Yeah.
Kind of since then I've been into it.
Cool. And did you live in Bristol at one point?
I did live in Bristol,
You were involved in the Boomtown Festival, weren't you?
Yeah, like, I've lived in Bristol.
You were a booker, were you a booker there?
Head of Music was my official title.
Okay.
Booking a lot of the bands, some of the DJs. I did that for 10 years. And before that even, I was the mayor of Boomtown, which is strictly a ceremonial title, really. And then I was the sheriff of Boomtown as well, briefly.
What does that...
kind of like the mayor.
Title on YouTube.
It means I get to go back in time, the Wild West. It's all part of the story.
You don't own all the goats in Boomtown or something like that.
Man, no. No, I wish. All the goat curry in Boomtown.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I was part of it since the kind of early... doors.
Nice.
But I had the music there for 10 years.
Brilliant. And then you moved back home?
Yeah, came back home, came to Cardiff.
You were saying you lived in Canton originally when you were younger?
Yeah, well, I've lived all over Cardiff. Originally in Grangetown, then in Canton, Thompson Park, Junior Posse, Canton crew. And then Roath, Fairwater, Victoria Park, Riverside. All over this town.
And are you working on any music yourself? Got any little plans going on? Or?
Yeah, maybe. I don't really make much music anymore. I don't really have the patience for production. Mm-hmm. However, myself and Fizzy Gillespie have been doing some bootlegs, kind of jungle edits, I would call them. Not jungle tunes, cool. But like jungle edits of some classic tunes, which are real nice. They're gonna be coming out soon.
And you sent me a few mixes as well. There's a hip hop mix. I don't think that was by you, though, was it?
Oh, so yeah, there is a 90s hip hop mix out there with that Jaffa.
That's right.
I curated it, and then Jaffa put it together, and it's done like a classic 90s mixtape, except all of the beats are 90s hip hop, but all of the raps are. Fresh Welsh artists.
That's cool. That's a cool way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's some great artists. Some of them have kind of literally done their take on the original tunes, and some have just dropped.
See, that's like, my era, 90s hip hop, really. 80s yeah. and 90s, to be honest.
I'm super happy with it. I think everybody on that smashed it, you know. It's a real cross section of rappers as well, you know. Mm. There's some of the youngsters. For literally, you know, 40's on there, who's one of the original rappers from Wales. Mm-hmm. But then you've got like Mudmouth and Johnny B and Black Trix from kind of that 2000s era. And then you've got like Ogun and Figo, who are like more kind of today's artists. So I'm super happy with that, how that turned out.
And you were at Focus Wales.
Yeah.
I was listening to Adam the other night, and he had Luke Harvey session on. That was really good.
Yeah, real good.
He's like, a really good artist, isn't he, Luke Harvey?
Live band was great. I mean, I loved Focus. We did it. Obviously, did my showcase there, Captain Drake's Presents, which was real good. Zenith played there with their live band, which is Drake's band, with Johnny B and Evil C. But in that band, there was like Vanity and Cara from Baby Queens.
Cool.
You had Lily Bo, you had Adjua, like they're all in the band as well.
So many, isn't it? It's real, like.
Yeah, Asha Jane, obviously, on
vocals.
Exciting
scene at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting.
And all quite different as well, a lot of those names you mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's
vocals.
I think that's what I like at the moment, is people have their own sound. It's just what I liked in the 2000s. Like, everybody was different. Everyone had their own original voices and original sounds.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting back to that again, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Len Frick doesn't sound like Sage Toys, doesn't sound like Mace, doesn't sound like Luke R.V.
No.
I mean, you know, people cross genres, but the raps are different, and I love that.
And they're all exciting as well.
Yeah.
It's important, I think, the likes of yourself and Dave Acton championing that scene, because often, like, people, Len Frack said this to me, it's like often people outside of Wales, when they hear about like Welsh hip hop, they're like a bit, they can look down on it a little bit sometimes.
But I think we do that ourselves.
Within ourselves as well. Yeah,
I think we do that ourselves. And
but,
I feel like
I'm just trying to say that sometimes it's important to, like, you know, represent, as you call it, you know, as we say. But, you know,
I just want people to
champion it. You know,
and I want people to understand that we can do this as well as anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And we are.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we're smashing it at the moment.
Definitely. A lot of great stuff.
And also, I ended up rapping at Focus Wales, which is
nice.
Something that doesn't happen. But it was fun. I enjoyed it myself. You might see, I jumped up with Zenith, and maybe I might have come out of retirement for their album as well.
Oh, okay,
cool. When that comes out.
Exclusive.
Yeah,
for In the Spotlight podcast.
That's exclusive news right there. So I dabble in making music.
Yeah. I'm the same as well. I play very average acoustic guitar, like, you know, but then I just play it for myself kind of thing, you know. So, yeah. It's the thing about, sometimes if you're involved in music, then your standards could be quite high, couldn't they? You know what I mean? Of yourself.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like I don't think I'll ever be good enough for me to feel like I can put stuff out, you know, because
I don't have that confidence either.
I'm critical, and I also don't have the patience or the time to make myself as good as I would want to be.
Well, that's it. We were talking about, just before this podcast, we were talking about access and things like that and funding, and, you know, sometimes it's the time, isn't it? Like, if you've already got a job or maybe two jobs, then finding that time to also be an artist and develop, that takes time and funding, you know, the cost of everything now.
Yeah,
but that's where the funding needs to come in. You know, like other countries, some other. I mean, we're getting better. Wales, definitely Wales, but some other countries, they fund it even more, music and the arts.
Yeah, I think definitely, if you're going to make a career and get your music out there, it's what you buy into as well, though. You know, like, there's not many artists out there who don't feel like they now have to do social media. They have to do everything, or at least have a team around them that do everything.
Yeah.
And it depends what you want from it. I think you hit on something just a minute ago when you said you make music for yourself just to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would help a lot of people if they were just doing that.
Yeah.
We're sold this thing that if you make music and you do it with some talent, that you have to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
And you don't.
And then I suppose within certain circles, it's like you may feel a little bit, not embarrassed, but, like, you know, you don't want to fully tell everyone what, like, ruin the magic, like, you know, exactly what the struggle is and the grind is. You know what I mean? Some people might want to keep up the illusion that, you know, oh, yeah, I'm really successful and stuff, you know. But it's actually grind, isn't it? To be good is great, you know, often. It takes grind.
I mean, I would say if you really want to get out there and be an artist that people take notice of,
mm-hmm.
which is what a lot of artists want, you know, which
ultimately,
is fair enough.
Yeah.
You gotta put the work in. You gotta get out there and you gotta grind. Like, I kind of wish sometimes that artists that I see who are talented would get out there a bit more. You know, like, it doesn't take that much more. The difference between the artists that are poking through at the moment is they're putting the work in.
Yeah, yeah. Putting themselves out there as well.
Yeah, they're putting themselves out. That's hard for some artists.
It is, because some people might just want to be a studio artist.
Well, for some people, a lot of their art comes from their social insecurity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they struggle to express themselves in day-to-day, so it comes out as music.
For sure.
And in those instances, like, that's when you need a manager.
Yeah.
Or you need an advocate. You don't always need a manager. Sometimes you just need an advocate who will shout for you. Yeah, but get out there, you know? Or just do it for yourself. I mean, look at Bill Withers.
Yeah.
Bill Withers had his career, did his thing, said goodbye. Still made music.
Amazing. Never stopped making. You ever see that Still Bill documentary? Amazing.
No, not seen that.
Brilliant. About his life, you know.
Yeah. Really, but he never stopped making music.
No.
You know? He just...
Who he was, wasn't it?
Yeah. But he just made it for himself, his family, his friends, you know?
But in this era, I suppose, if you want to get, like you said, if you want to get a bit further on than that, you do have to, like, put yourself out there, don't you? The social media thing. Social media can be a grind in itself as well, you know? So
yeah, and I think we have to be really careful about what we want out of it and what we want people to get from it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the industry's been playing artists from the very start. They gave us a rule book, or they gave artists a rule book, and they went, this is how you have to play the game. But they gave them their rule book.
Yeah.
The only people that win out of that, really, is the industry.
Yeah.
And it's the same with social media. The only people that win out of that, most of the time, are the tech giants.
Yeah, feeding the system, feeding the algorithm.
You're literally just feeding into it, and they feed from your insecurities, you know, which is what the music industry has always done. It's fed on insecurities and it's fed on ego.
There's also that line, isn't there, between being an artist and being a creator or an influencer now, you know? It's like, I've talked to some artists where they've said, I don't want to be seen as like a creator just on social media. I want to be seen as an artist, you know?
You want to be a creative.
Yeah.
Not a creator. Like.
But like you said, sometimes you can feel like if you just update in social media, you don't... Really,
yeah, it's like,
you're
where
just
is the
feeding
artist?
The beast in a way.
Yeah. And a lot of the time you are. And I mean, some people find a different creative spark by doing that. Some people are very good on social media and they get something out of it and they give something within that. Because I think, it all comes down to what are you giving? Like, I think a lot of artists get caught up in what they can get.
Yeah.
And everyone got to eat, everyone's got to survive. But I think if artists concentrate on what they can give, it works out better.
For sure.
You know, what can we give? What am I giving to people? Why should people care about what I'm doing?
Why should they invest in me?
Yeah, what am I giving
to them?
My time
or whatever.
I think that's a better way to think of it as a creative, personally.
Yeah. That's a good place to leave it. Thanks for joining me, Captain. This has been In the Spotlight podcast with myself, Bill Cummings, and Captain.
Pleasure. Yeah, nice one.
Ta-da. Bye.
So many times the evil eye tried to sell me dreams, I never believed it. In school they said I'm a genius, where I'm from you never achieve it, yeah. Live for the weekend, she went a GG, Bella Vidita. Said it, I mean it, knowing I'm me and nothing like them's an incredible feeling, yeah. Hey, she said I'm a joker, I'm a comedian. Giving my all but keep composure, come closer, let's keep it convenient. Yeah, like come closer, it's hell of an evening. Stay content with never achieving, all girl, yours how you live. MTG, I'm taking it over the bridge. But I think this through, been through so much, them not don't know what to think. Can't think for themselves and they think it's cool, like they're all the same. Don't you think it's weird? Might be wrong, but my faith is blind. Belly screaming, steady scheming, I'm trying to make this right.
Belly screaming, steady scheming, trying to make